Thanks, Sherry.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April 29th, 2026. It's 9 a.m. We're here for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board, Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Can I have a roll call, please? Jan and both John and Rudy are excused from the meeting.
Okay.
I'm here. John Barmore's here.
Oh.
Thank you.
Good morning, John.
So Mr. Barmore is here. Mr. Christensen?
Here.
Mr. DeClean?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Mr. Conrad is excused. Mr. Kovac?
Here.
And Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
For the regular meeting, item number one, approval of minutes. Letter A, regular meeting held for the regular meeting held March 25th, 2026. Does anyone have any comments or questions for the meeting's report? Not hearing any. Need a motion to approve. I will make the motion to approve the meeting's minutes for the meeting held March 25th, 2026. Do I have a second?
Ellen, I'll second.
Thanks, Tim. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve the minutes for the meeting held March 25th, 2026 passes. Moving on to item number two, the Chief Investment Officer Report. David, are you handling or Eric this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get into my comments, I'll turn it over to Eric to provide a performance update for the board.
Thank you. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Morning, everyone. The fund ended the month of March with a value of $6.48 billion. The fund return of negative 3.3% net of fees, underperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 47 basis points. The primary relative performance drivers within manager selection, private equity detracted 34 basis points. This is that time of year that comes up every year where our fourth quarter private equity reports have an extended time frame because the underlying managers have to do their audited financial statements and things like that. So we don't actually get those fourth quarter private equity reports until kind of the May or June time frame. So essentially what we're doing in this month is comparing a zero private equity return to a benchmark that in this case was positive. So that's the reason for the detraction there. The hedge fund of funds in our portfolio collectively detracted 14 basis points. A bright spot within manager selection was actually public equity. Our managers actually held up pretty well in a down market. It wasn't really any one or two standouts. It was just more kind of consistency among all the managers. There were actually only three of the managers that underperformed their benchmarks, and one of them was only by a very small amount. Finally, the fund's overall allocation was a detractor, and that was primarily from the underweight to real assets, which detracted 13 basis points. You can see in the table to the right that the fund is underperforming in the 1 and 20 year periods while outperforming or in line in all other time periods. April, the fund has seen a nice bounce back. So through April 28th, the fund was up approximately 2.9% month to date, which brings the year to date return to up 3.1% and the fund value to $6.67 billion. 8 out of our 12 active mandates are outperforming year to date, and the public equity and fixed income asset classes are exceeding their respective benchmarks year to date net of fees. Year to date, we've seen a change in the value of investments of $206.2 million, received contributions of $217.6 million, and paid out benefits and expenses of $131.4 million. We will not be making any withdrawals this month, and benefits will be paid from cash. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Eric. Any comments or questions for Eric before we move to David? All right, not hearing any. Thank you, Eric. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I plan to keep my comments relatively brief. I just want to say I'm proud of the team. We're juggling a lot at the moment, in addition to all the kind of typical normal day-to-day stuff. We have an internal audit going on, an external audit, where we're providing the typical support to our county colleagues on the budget and financial statements. We worked hard on the fixed income search, which I know everybody was a part of just a couple weeks ago. Behind the scenes, we're working with Callan closely on a public equity structure study, which, yeah, you'll see presented by Callan at our investment committee meeting next week. I think most of us have gone on one or two trips. We've all done at least one trip, some of us two trips in the last couple months, for manager conferences, due diligence. We also have more due diligence kind of in the works. And I think we've tried to fit in a family spring break vacations as well in the last couple months. So it's all good stuff. We feel really good about how we're handling everything. And most importantly, we feel really good about the reports and the information we're providing you, even with all this stuff going on. I'll mention that today a lot of eyes are on the markets today. There's an FOMC meeting. That's a Federal Open Market Committee meeting. This is widely expected to be the chairman, Jerome Powell's last meeting, at least as chairman of the Fed. The FOMC isn't expected to make any changes to interest rates today, but interest rates can be moved by the markets based on, I guess, the tone, the press conference afterwards, kind of what the FOMC might say after the meeting. So we'll see if the Fed gives any hints or insights into how they're viewing inflation and future interest rates, future decisions, and we'll see how the market reacts to that. There's also some really big earnings reports. Some of the biggest companies in the world report earnings after 3 o'clock today: Microsoft, Alphabet, Amazon, and Meta. We'll see how that goes after the market closes today. We'll be able to get an idea based on how the futures markets maybe move after the market closes today, and how the market moves tomorrow based on those earnings. And all this is, in addition to everything going on with geopolitics and the elevated high oil prices and how that impacts the markets. We have an investment committee meeting next Thursday. I'm biased, but I think all the meetings are important. The package will be going out on Friday, and I'd say maybe two of the highlights are Callan presentations. One, they'll be giving a real estate performance update, and Callan will also be presenting the public equity structure study, as I alluded to earlier. This is when we talk about how we're going to implement that 36% target to public equity going forward. It's something we typically only do every 4 to 5 years. You will have an opportunity on the agenda to approve a new structure if you're comfortable doing so, and you, as always, have the ability to ask for more information or to follow up based on how you're feeling after the presentation as well. But we look forward to going over all that next week, seeing everybody next week. And of course, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me in the meantime. That's all my prepared remarks. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, David. Any comments or questions from board members? Not hearing any. Thank you, Eric and David, for item two. Moving on to item three, the investment committee report. This does be handled by Tim, and we can have the discussion and then decide on closed session if that works for you, Tim.
I'll just note as kind of typical practice, the closed session language is a placeholder in this case only. I think, yeah, we are fortunate enough to have everybody present at the investment committee. There's no new information to discuss, but if for any reason any board members want to continue or have any follow-up, we have the ability to do so after the chairman's after Mr. Helling's report, if necessary.
Great. Thank you, David. And go ahead, Tim.
All right. Sounds good. So it's April 16th meeting. The investment committee interviewed 4 investment managers as part of the fixed income manager search. The investment managers interviewed were PPM America Incorporated, Income Research and Management, Galliard Capital Management, LLC, and Bayard Advisors. The committee did select one finalist in closed session and directed ERS staff to conduct due diligence and coordinate legal negotiations with the preferred fixed income manager. The selection is contingent on successful due diligence and contract negotiations. The staff also provided a performance update for the fund after those meetings. And before us today, the investment committee recommends approval of the following item to consider, discuss, and potentially approve the selection of fixed income manager or managers. That's all I have for my report.
Thank you, Tim. Any comments or questions on the report? Not hearing any. This is up for a potential motion to approve. I believe, Patrick, are we okay with the approval from our investment meeting since everybody was present for that, for the approval?
Because it was labeled as a committee meeting, Mr. Chair, I'd recommend just taking another vote now, just to remove any doubt.
Great, then I'll put forward a motion for the approval of selection of fixed income manager as discussed at the April 16th meeting. Is there a second?
This is Bill. Second.
Thank you, Justin. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, the motion to approve the selection of the fixed income manager at the April 16th meeting passes. Next, moving on to item 4, new business. Letter A, retirement, death claims, and refunds for March of 2026. Patrick, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the routine monthly list for payroll. If anyone has any questions about anyone on the list, please feel free to ask them now, or of course you can reach out to me outside of the meeting. Otherwise, the motion to approve is in order.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, I will put forward a motion to approve payroll for March 2026. Do I have a second?
4 seconds.
Thank you, Deborah. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. The motion to approve payroll for March 2026 passes. Next is item 4, letter B, conference request for April 29th, 2026 board meeting. We have a total of 2 listed, and then we're going to potentially add an additional 3rd one for Patrick. First one is for Eric and Keith to attend new fixed income managers due diligence. That's going to be May 20th to the 21st at a cost of $1,000 per person. Next request is for David for N3 Leaders Symposium. That's with BlackRock. That's in Chicago. That's a 1-day conference for June 10th, 2026. And that is estimated cost of $300. The third is for Patrick, obviously our new executive director, is requesting to attend a FEPERS Chief Officers conference in California. And Patrick, can you explain the dates and estimated cost?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the dates are June 15th through 17th, and the estimated cost is $2,600.
Thank you. Any comments or questions on the approval of those three conference requests?
Mr. Chairman, if there are any other comments, I'll pause for that. But I have one more request to add, if the board is willing to let me do that.
Yes, absolutely, David. This will be the fourth one listed for the request. Go ahead, David.
This would be for Tom Courtright and myself. We've planned a due diligence trip to Boston with MFS, Loomis Sales, and with a visit to Prologis, July 28th to July 30th, 2026. And we've listed it at 2,000 per person. Usually when we estimate it, it comes in a little lower than that, but we're requesting, just to be safe, 2,000 per person.
Thank you, David. And sounds like you guys, Tom and you, will be busy out there. But is that three schedule?
Yeah. It took a little time to coordinate, which is why we didn't have it in time for the committee. But yeah, this is a good trip. We were able to get it all together two nights out there, and all these visits should be good. If, as always, I'll note if board members. If there's a board member that wants to join on and any of these due diligence that they ever see, that's always welcome as well. But yes, three visits, so we'll be busy out there.
Thank you. So we have a total of the four conference requests. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, I'll make the motion to approve the conference requests for the four discussed at the April 29, 2026 board meeting. Do I have a second?
This is Bill, I'll second.
Thank you, Bill. Any objections regarding? I'm hearing any. The motion to approve the conference request for the four listed on the April 29, 2026 board meeting passes. Next, item four of new business, letter C, approval of draft ERS 2027 city budget request. Patrick, do you want to start off with this, or
Daniel? I will refer this over to the ERS Chief Financial Officer, Dan Gopalin.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. Daniel, go ahead.
Yep, this is Dan Gopalin, ERS Chief Financial Officer. In your board packet, you should have our 2027 budget request. My plan is to kind of just go over at a high level and then answer any questions that the members have. For 2027, we are requesting a budget of $25,610,294. That is an increase of $997,000 approximately. That can be explained in three main areas. The first one is our total salaries. We're requesting an increase of about $225,000. Most of that increase can be attributed to the 2026 budgeted raises. General City got 3%, and city residents also got an additional 1% increase. We also had a few positions within ERS that were reclassed at a higher pay rate as well. So that explains the increase of $225,000 for salaries. Along those lines of salaries, our fringe benefit rate is 45%, and that's based on our salaries. So our requested fringe rate is a little higher at $100,000. Going down, our facility rent, we're projecting about $62,000 less. What that is we signed a new lease over at a remote office over on Two Park Place, and it came in much lower than what we expected, along with our common area maintenance part of our rent that's been steady for the last few years, so we're hopeful that it'll continue. So that's why we're projecting a lower rent expense in 2027. The big item, professional services, we're requesting an increase of just under $855,000. Most of that can be attributed to higher projected investment manager fees. I put performance in there. I don't know why. Our performance fees are actually projected to go down slightly. It's just our overall assets are higher, so we're projecting a higher amount for our investment fees. The last item is equipment. We're projecting a $115,000 decrease compared to 2026. We plan to complete our network refresh and redesign in 2027, so we expect our equipment expenses to go down in 2027. Moving on, the second page, that's just some more detail. That just was summarized on the first page. And if you go to the last page, Terry, the last page of the non-ERS items. ERS also has some other non-ERS programs that we're responsible for providing the budget for. PBAF, that closed in 2024. Our last member passed away. We're still tracking down a couple of beneficiaries, but we're hoping to get that closed either this year or next year. The employer's pension contribution, we do not have that number yet. We'll get that in June when Larry comes in and talks about the actuarial valuation. Next up is the group life. I kept it the same, but the city's actually going out for an RFP this year, so that number could change once the RFP goes through and the contract's been signed. The last item is the retirees benefit adjustment fund. That is our firemen's and annuity and benefit fund. There's one or two members remaining in that fund, so our expectation is that's going to be closing pretty soon here, just like the PABF. That's pretty much it for the budget. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Daniel. Any questions before we move forward to approval of the draft? Right, not hearing any, I will make a motion to approve the draft of the ERS 2027 city budget request. Is there a second?
Ellen, I'll second.
Thank you, Tim. Any objections? Not hearing any, the approval of this draft ERS 2027 city budget request passes. Thank you, Daniel. Moving on to item four, letter D, approval of resolution for retiring annuity and pension board trustee Rudolph Conrad. I have a resolution that I want to read. Whereas Rudolph Conrad, retired deputy city attorney, served with integrity, vigor, and distinction as a trustee on the annuity and pension board of the employee retirement system of the city of Milwaukee, continually from June 2014 until March 2025, and faithfully and conscientiously discharged his duty to solely represent the interests of all members and beneficiaries of the system during his tenure of office. And whereas Rudolph Conrad served with superior skill, diligence, and legal acumen as the board's general counsel from December 2002 until his appointment to the board in 2014, and ably advised the board and defended the interests of the ERS members and beneficiaries in numerous litigation matters brought against the system, exhibiting exceptional proficiency and unwavering commitment to the assignment. And whereas Rudolph Conrad served as chair of the legislative committee from 2015 through 2019, vice chair of the board from 2018 through 2020, and board chair in 2021, his extensive knowledge of pension benefits enabled him to make many valuable contributions to the Annuity and Pension Board and the well-being of the employees' retirement system of the City of Milwaukee and its tens of thousands of participants, including and especially his diligent stewardship in pursuing adequate funding for the system. And whereas Rudolph Conrad served as the investment committee throughout his tenure on the board, assisting in the development of employees' retirement system strategic asset allocation which has generated hundreds of millions of dollars of long-term returns in excess of its best benchmark for the exclusive benefit of the system's member and beneficiaries, and whereas Rudolph Conrad exhibited the courage, discipline, and composure necessary to preserve and adhere to the board's investment policy despite the global COVID-19 pandemic crisis and inflationary aftermath, and guide the system safely through perilous times with a steady hand. And whereas Rudolph Conrad's departure is a great loss to the Annuity and Pension Board and all the members and beneficiaries of the Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee, therefore be it resolved by the Annuity and Pension Board that it's hereby expressed its deep and sincere appreciation and gratitude to Rudy Conrad for his invaluable, selfless, and loyal service, and be it further resolved that the resolution be recorded in the permanent records of this board and that it's suitably engrossed copy be forwarded to Rudy Conrad. This is adopted April 29th, 2026. And Rudy is not joining us today, but again, I will ask for a motion to approve the resolution for retiring Annuity and Pension Board Trustee Rudolph Conrad. I will make the motion. Is there a second?
Board seconds.
Thank you, Deborah. Any objections regarding?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
It's March of 2026, right? Not 25? First paragraph?
Oh, that's correct, Mr. Chair. We will make that adjustment.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you, Tim.
Yep.
And we will motion to approve the resolution for retiree Annuity and Pension Board Trustee Rudolph Conrad passes. Moving on to item five, medical reports, letter A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for April 2026. Good morning, Gus. You're handling this item?
Yes, sir. Good morning. There are two reports before you. They're relatively routine. They're all reexaminations before you for your approval. One is the medical panel approvals report, which is two retirees who went through re-exam and are before you recommended to be approved, as well as six on the medical council approvals report. Again, all re-exams, all before you for approval. If there are any questions regarding these, I'm happy to entertain them now or offline. That's all I have for you today.
Thank you, Gus. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any. I'll make a motion to approve medical reports for April 2026. Is there a second?
This is Bill. I'll second.
Thank you, Bill. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. Motion to approve the medical reports for April 2026 passes. Thank you, Gust. Moving on to item six, unfinished business, letter A, pending legal opinions and service requests report. Attorney Rollins, are you handling this?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you very much. As noted under part one, we received a request for a legal opinion regarding the 1% residency incentive pay, and the city attorney's office is working on that opinion. Part three, we've also received a request for assistance in negotiating and drafting a contract with Cavanaugh McDonald for actuarial services, and the city attorney's office is also working on that request. I'd be happy to entertain any questions on either of those two items. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
Mr. Chair, I'll just like to add some additional context very briefly, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight that first item there, the 1% residency incentive pay. The reason we're requesting legal guidance on that is, as I'm sure many of the trustees will remember, we were previously embroiled in lengthy litigation over what constituted salary, and we got some guidance from the Wisconsin Supreme Court about how to interpret current annual salary in relation to duty disability. And this new 1% residency incentive pay raises the same issue, just in different and I think even more complicated ways. So we wanted to make sure we were dotting our I's and crossing our T's and doing the right thing with respect to our members. And if anyone has any questions about that, I'd certainly be happy to answer them, but I just wanted to provide that additional context.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Dick.
Sorry, question on the residency. I mean, going from 3 to 4 changes the scale and makes it a mistake bigger if there's a mistake, but it doesn't, other than changing that number, right, it doesn't, you've got a system for it already, I assume.
The issue is really that the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision we got back in 2023 essentially told us to interpret current annual salary as the dollar amount listed in the salary grids of any collective bargaining agreement. The thing that, which, you know, would we'd be happy to implement, except for the fact that this 1% increase isn't incorporated into the salary grids of the new collective bargaining
I was thinking of General City. Yes, we added 1%, right, in response to that, sort of, right. That, so that is new, right,
for it's, right.
Public safety.
And so if we were to strictly apply the Wisconsin Supreme Court's guidance, theoretically, we would not include the 1% residency incentive, which frankly didn't seem completely correct based on the language of the contract. So basically, we're asking the city attorney's office to sort of resolve the, apply that old guidance to this new issue, which is slightly different than what happened before, if that makes any sense.
Okay, that's all. Yeah, I don't think that was discussed explicitly in negotiations, but oh boy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, probably should be multiple closed sessions on that, I suppose, but if it's going to become an issue. Okay.
Hoping for an easy resolution.
Yeah.
But no pressure. Once we get the city attorney opinion, certainly we'll have more conversations about it.
And Mr. Chair, one, I guess, further clarifying question. This is just as it relates to duty disability retirement, not for accrual of regular pension benefit, correct?
Yes. Okay. So the thing that makes this unique is, you know, we've had residency incentive for general city employees for many years. But when a general city employee goes out on duty disability, their benefits are calculated differently. So we don't have the same problem. This is the first time we're being asked to interpret how residency incentive applies to current annual salary, which is the concept that we use to calculate duty disability benefits for protective service employees. And so that's why this is a new issue. It seems like it would be, you know, kind of a familiar item, but really this is the first time a residency incentive has, you know, or would be theoretically included in current annual salary for duty disability purposes. And that's why we've requested a new opinion.
Thank you for that clarification, Bill. I now understand this way better than when I asked my first question. Okay.
Thank you, Mike and Bill. And Patrick, any other comments? All right, not hearing any. Then we'll move on to item 6, letter B, pending legislation report. And go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A notable pair of updates here on the legislation report. I am happy to report that the three proxy voting related pieces of state legislation have all failed to pass. As the board will recall, I believe these were first introduced last year. They would have introduced a series of onerous regulations, administrative regulations on the plan in relation to proxy voting that frankly would have been unworkable. And then also separately tried to impose additional responsibilities on proxy advisors. Neither of those measures have passed, and I'm not aware of any sort of new formulation of them having been introduced. So at least for the time being, it looks like these issues are in the past, and we'll certainly keep monitoring to see if any related item is introduced in the future.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions for Patrick? Not hearing any. Thank you, Patrick. Move on to item six, letter C. This is marked for closed session. Not sure we need to go into it yet. Attorney Rollins, anything from the pending litigation report?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to report we haven't had nearly as much activity this month as in the previous month, so I hope to conclude the report in under 2 hours this month. I, too, do not anticipate the need to move into closed session, although we can entertain a motion if necessary, if any board members have any question that would require moving into closed session. But under part one, first case MPA and Kurt Lucina versus City of Milwaukee, I would just note that the respondents filed their response to our petition for review in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin on March 30th. So briefing has been completed in that case, and we are now just awaiting the Supreme Court's decision on whether to accept the case. That will take several months for them to decide, so we're in a holding pattern there. Any questions on that? Hearing none, the second case, Benjean Lara versus City of Milwaukee et al. Our deadline to file our response to their petition for review in the Supreme Court is this Friday, and I plan to file our response hopefully tomorrow, just to, they filed, Let me take a step back. Mr. Lara filed a petition for review in the Wisconsin Supreme Court on April 17th, and our deadline to respond is this Friday. I'm hoping to have our brief filed tomorrow. Any questions on that? We're still in a holding pattern on the third item under part one, so we can move on to part two. In the Jason E. Rodriguez administrative case, ERS sent a letter to Mr. Rodriguez on April 9th, asking him to come into the office and sign new medical information authorization forms, because we did receive, the City of Milwaukee received a decision from an administrative law judge that we discussed in great detail last month, essentially finding that the two gatekeeping statutory criteria had been met, determining that he had met the extraordinary stress standard under the state statute and his injury was duty related. So ERS sent him a letter letting him know that we could resume processing his application now that that ALJ's decision has been received. Mr. Rodriguez indicated in a follow-up phone call with Gust that he had received the letter and forwarded it to his attorney. And at this point, we are awaiting further communication from Mr. Rodriguez or his attorney regarding whether they will move forward with the medical panel process, or I'm sorry, the medical council process. Are there any questions about that? Hearing none, we can move on to Frank Lockett. Just a note that there is an appeal hearing scheduled for May 12th in this matter. And if there are no other questions, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Attorney Rollins. Any other comments or questions? Not hearing any, thank you. And we will move on to item six, letter D, the Executive Director's Report, Inventory of ERS Projects. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will just walk through these by section. First, in the personnel update, you will see that we are currently working to fill two positions, that of the benefits services specialist and records technician two position, and we're hopeful to get some candidates in there soon. Section 2, member services, we had 32 new retirees in March. We had 24 retiree and employee deaths were entered in February. One item of note is that for any members listening, members or beneficiaries listening, annual statements have gone out. You should have received them already, and if you haven't, you'll be receiving them soon. If there are any questions regarding the statements, there is a special hotline set up dedicated to answering questions regarding member statements. Please don't hesitate to reach out if there are any questions. Moving on to Section 3, Financial Services. The second round of outside earnings letters will be going out soon if they haven't already. These letters are for members who have not responded to the first outside earnings letter. Anyone affected by that, please do not ignore those and get in touch with us if you have any questions. Finally there, you'll see the note in Section D3D that ERS did receive MATC's 2026 employer contribution in the amount of $207,258. Section 4, if you flip to the second page, there's just one item I want to note in terms of IT reports. This will probably be new to almost everyone on the board, but there is a new web accessibility guideline that federal, state, and local governments are required to comply with under the Americans with Disabilities Act. It essentially requires updates to any web services or documents that are available through a website, making them essentially easier to read and interact with for people with disabilities. This has been, it seems like a fairly innocuous thing, but it's actually been a pretty hot topic amongst public pension plans since we are required to comply with them. It does require modifications to the ERS website, as well as the documents that we place on the website, along with a few other things. There was initially a deadline for this because we are an organization that serves less than 50,000 members. Our deadline would have been April 26th of next year, but due to what I will call a groundswell of pushback from state and local governments about the difficulty of implementing this, the federal government has actually pushed back the implementation deadline 1 year. So we're now required to comply in 2028. The reason I'm bringing this up is because this is a potential compliance issue. There are fines associated with violations, $75,000 for the first fine, $150,000 for subsequent violations. Obviously, given the timeline, we are going to be compliant with it, but it is something that is kind of a hot button issue in the public pension community and has been a subject of a fairly substantial discussion because of the work involved to make these corrections. So I just wanted the board to be aware of it. I'll also note, after kind of giving all that seemingly ominous news, that we fully anticipate not having any issues complying with it. So if anyone has any questions about that, please don't hesitate to follow up with me offline. I'd be happy to answer them. The bottom line is we are going to be compliant well in advance of the deadline. Finally, Section 5, Administration. I'll just note that the Hackham Board has approved an employment contract for a new Secretary Executive Director, Harold Ince. He started just this Monday. We're hoping to give him just a little bit of time to settle in, but we'll be setting up a meeting with Mr. Ince in the near future to discuss Hackham's outstanding employer contributions. Per the board's discussion last month also, we've begun sending Hackham monthly statements rather than quarterly statements, and a copy of the most recent statement is included with the executive director's report. The only other thing I want to mention, which is not on the report, is that we are planning to hold the June board meeting in person. We are on track to have the valuation done by June and are hoping to have Larry and Aaron from CAVMAC in here to present it. So we thought it'd be a nice opportunity for the trustees to either meet Larry and Aaron for the first time or get to see him again, because I know there hasn't been a lot of opportunities to do so. So just a reminder, that meeting's on June 24th. Mark your calendars. We're hoping to see everyone in person on that date. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now. Otherwise, please feel free to follow up with me offline after the meeting.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions for the Executive Director's report? Not chairing any. Thank you, Patrick. Moving on to item 7, it's informational. We have items A through F. Any comments or questions on those items?
Mr. Chair, a comment?
Yes, go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, the only thing I'll mention, you know, David mentioned it earlier, is that we do include lists of due diligence trips and upcoming potential trustee education educational training opportunities in the informational packet. So if that's something that the trustees are interested in, please reach out. We're happy to facilitate registration and travel. Highly encourage everyone to take advantage of a relatively extensive set of educational opportunities. So please give that a look and reach out to us. We'll be happy to make any arrangements that are necessary to set that up. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Patrick. Any other comments or questions on item 7? Hearing any, those items A through F will be placed on file, and that concludes our agenda. I will make a motion to conclude the meeting. Is there a second?
This is Bill, I'll second.
Thank you, Bill. Any objections? Not hearing any, the motion to approve the conclusion of the meeting passes. It is 9:48 a.m. Thank you, everyone, and have a good day.